Turuntuset tulee jo on äl.
Our main topic today is about global sponsorship strategy. Mm-hmm. And we here have talked several times about different ways of sponsorship in our marketing radio talk show. But today we are focusing on more global approach on sponsorship. And Christina, you from Volvo Trucks, you are representing a company that is behind one of the biggest ocean race, Volvo Ocean Race. I know, think that most of Estonians know it as well. You are behind the company and you are also behind the race. And now we have a good opportunity to ask several questions about the global sponsorship strategically. How does it work and what should we learn from you?
Yes.
And I want to start from the beginning. You started directing Volvo sponsorship team for about 10 years ago. Was it your choice to start sponsorship of the big show like Volvo Ocean Race, or was it decided before you arrived?
Well, it actually was decided in 1997 when they had been looking at the Volvo Group and Volvo Cars were looking, when we were all one company, wanted to change direction a bit. We had been sponsoring horse jumping in the World Cup for 20 years, between 78 and 98. And people felt that perhaps the return on investment had reached its maximum. And we'd also been involved in tennis, golf, and we are still involved in golf, skiing, some skiing events, and also motorsports. We were looking at doing something different, something that our competitors weren't doing, and something that was also global. And that's really how it came about when our eyes turned to the Whitbread Round the World race. And in fact, in 1997-98, that was the first time Whitbread sailed under the Volvo flag, so to speak. It was called Whitbread Round the World race for the Volvo Trophy.
Okay.
And then in 2001, it became the Volvo Ocean Race.
Okay. So you were connected to the company at that time?
Oh, yes. I actually worked in Australia then. So in 97, I got to look after the two stopovers that were in Australia then, one in Fremantle and one in Sydney. And that's how I got on board the Volvo Ocean Race, so to speak, and was recruited back to Sweden in year 2000. To work with the race.
Was the competitiveness just the only factor that counted at that time? Or were there any other factors that also were important when the race was chosen?
There were a lot of factors there. I mean, we were looking for something that would develop the emotional aspects of our brand, also in the field of business to business. I mean, we have a challenge having several different types of products in our portfolio. I mean, Volvo Cars is a consumer brand, Volvo Construction Equipment and Volvo Trucks are business-to-business, of course, as are buses. And at that time, we also had Volvo Aero and Volvo Penta, which we still have. So we had a lot of different aspects to look at. But the fact that it was global was very important because we operate in 140 countries around the world. It had to be a sport that we believed in and could develop. But also the fact that it lasted for 9 months, that gave us a lot of opportunities to market the race and to participate with our customers in many different ways over a long time. I think that was one of the major factors.
Very good. Tell me, how can you from Volvo Trucks maximize the results for your company from business to business point of view?
We use it as a platform for relationship creation, if you like. I mean, our most important activity is to have customers attend the event. Many of them actually buy their own trips to come to the event and do it over and over again. So it's a platform where they can meet us in a different way than if in a normal business world, but also where they can meet their colleagues and people, other people who operate transport companies. And that part, I think they find very interesting as well. So for us, for Volvo Trucks, it's the major thing is a meeting platform.
How do you measure the results? Do you count the amount of clients who visit the events every year, or what are the most important measurements for you?
Yes, we know exactly who's coming, of course, how many people are there, and Volvo Trucks is the one company that utilizes the event the most in terms of invited customers. We have a lot of surveys actually. One just came today, and that was about how happy our visitors were with, for instance, the exhibition and the programs we had, the business-related programs, the hotels and food and everything like that. But it is quite difficult to measure exactly how many trucks people buy from a trip like that. We always get the comment that they want to come back, and some people will ask us, when is the next Volvo Ocean Race so we can buy another truck, to be able to come. Or how many trucks do I need to buy to be able to sail on board of the yachts and things like that. Of course, you don't buy trucks for the fun of it. You buy it because you need it. And of course, our aim is to have them choose Volvo instead of anybody else. And I think they do. We do. I think you had. It's as I said. It's very difficult to measure exactly, but we do have a Volvo Ocean Race special edition that we have now had in every race so far. And for instance, we sold this time over 1,000 units of this truck. So that means that people want to have a Volvo Ocean Race edition where they can use it maybe as a top of the fleet or an image truck and show people that, they support Volvo.
Yeah, or to motivate the drivers as well.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a special way of showing the gratefulness. But do you see? Of course, it's difficult when the race takes place during 9 months out of 12, and it's difficult to see that. Is there any correlation that during the race times people are more talking? Maybe let's say so that more talking with the sales guys, not only about how to participate in the race or how to visit the race, but also about the cars, or. Is it such a long period that you don't see any difference? It's the same throughout the year.
No, I think what we talked about before, to have a platform where you can build relationships, it gives them a reason to contact customers,
That's
more
true.
than normal. So they can talk about, have you seen this or have you seen that, or would you like to go to Newport, for instance? I mean, mind you, we don't pay for their trips or anything. They often pay themselves. It varies a little bit from country to country, but for instance, in all of Scandinavia, they pay for their own trips, so they want to come and spend that time with us. It's not as though we just invite them and say, come along for the trip. It is a business event. And we're also very, very mindful of having business seminars included in their programs. For instance, talking about our core values. And we have our core value specialists here that have come along to all our stopovers and spoken about their subject. So it's and that in our surveys now have scored the highest results of all, actually.
The business
The business.
part.
Yes.
Wow.
So they are very interested in that.
How does the race and the stopovers influence sales in the regions?
For instance, in China, we've been quite active with the Volvo Ocean Race, and we've had the Volvo China Open and the World Golf Challenge in China. China is a market that's generally, the truck market is not increasing at the moment. It's actually going backwards a little bit. But Volvo is, we are strengthening our grasp of the market and increasing our market share. So It's very, I mean, there's so many factors involved when, you know, to talk when people buy a truck or choose a truck and so on. But the main thing is that people have your name on their lips so that you're noticed. And obviously, it gives us a very good image that we participate in those sort of events and that we, for instance, in China, are contributing to developing sailing amongst young people, not Volvo trucks as such, but Volvo Genesis.
Does the race help you to, let's say, differentiate your from the local strong competitors as well? Because with the international ones, you are probably having kind of fairly global competition, and the international competitors are the same all over the world. But in China, is the market situation different? And does it give you an additional advantage to have the race there?
I mean, our international competitors, or the big competitors, are, you know, they're the same everywhere nearly. Because, I mean, often if you look at the local Chinese brands, we are not a competitor to them. We are, you know, we are a totally different type of truck, much more high value type of truck. So you probably wouldn't choose between a local Chinese made truck and a Volvo, you know, because we're quite different. It would be a conscious decision to go for an international brand, I think. And of those brands, obviously, we want to be top of mind.
Okay, so the race helps you differentiate from the global brands in
Yes,
China as well.
yes, yes.
Okay. As I understand, how many years have you been in China with the race? This year was the first time when you had the Chinese team competing, but before you had always the stops in China as well.
It's the third time actually. We had Qingdao in 08, 09, and then Sanya has been participating in two races now. And we did have a Chinese boat last time too, called Sanya.
Okay,
So it's the
okay.
second time,
But as I understand, the visibility has increased a lot when you brought in the Chinese team compared with a time when you didn't have them participating or
Well,
competing.
China is a very big
Of
market.
course it
So,
is, yeah.
I mean, if you start marketing in China, you get a lot of viewers immediately, you know, because it's such an enormous market, you know, compared to say the European countries. So obviously the people who've seen the products go up a lot.
Yeah. But I wanted to reach to the part that asking that from day one, when you started in a new market, let's say it's China, having a race there, how many years would it take for you to see the kind of the major difference in sales? Of course, you get the visibility from the first day, but in sales and the kind of the image improvement, how many years would it take?
I think it is difficult to judge that. I mean, from one thing alone. As I said before, you know, there are so many parameters when it comes to sales. But we know that China, the Asian markets use Volvo Genèse a lot. They send a lot of customers to other stopovers, for instance. Auckland, we had a lot this time and last time. They sent them to Sweden and so on. They also use it a lot locally. So we know that they are very, very happy to have Volvo Genèse on board, and then they utilize it a lot. And they do it for the image because we are different from other manufacturers. But it's very, very difficult to judge exactly how long it would take from A to Z,
Yeah,
actually.
but it's years, not months, isn't it? Yeah, okay. But do you see with such a global race, do you see any differences in different markets? For instance, how you need to build up the event in order to maximize the results for you? Or is it the same, not depending on the part where it on the port where it is?
We have to just to explain that there are quite a few parties involved in having a stopover. There is a host, which, say, for instance, could be, well, Sanya, for instance, in China is the host. They are then responsible for the market, for the local marketing of the event as such,
Okay.
to get the general public there. The Volvo Ocean Race Organization, that do the sailing, that look after all the components related to the sailing and the syndicates and the boats and so on, they have, they have a very major media activities, when it comes to social media, internet, the app, the films. I mean, they have daily activities, but they don't necessarily promote one stopover over another. They're just saying, well, I mean, next they're coming to Sanya or next they're coming to Newport. So it's the actual local marketing to the general public is very much up to the local stopover organization. But then we, of course, market to our customers the stopover, that they should visit the stopover, and we invite them to the stopover and so on. So there are lots of, and then Volvo Cars will do the same with their customers, and Volvo Construction Equipment and so on. So there's so many parties involved in this.
But in general, are you happy that the event is a bit different in all over the stopovers, in all the stopovers? Or would you like to have it more like unified, that this is the event how it should be?
No, the event is very similar. I mean, for instance, the Volvo Pavilion is exactly the same in every country. Some syndicates may choose to display their products in some stopovers and not all of them, depending on whether it's a big market for them or not. For instance, the Swedish company SCA had very large displays all over the world in all the stopovers, but they had different angles depending on where they were. So, no, there's certain parameters that every stopover has to meet. So it's not really that different. And we had a Chinese entry. We had Dongfeng enter the race this time. And they also had a pavilion at every stopover with performers and so on. Generally it's quite similar in all the stopovers.
Okay. How do you choose the stopovers? You have changed them during the races. Do you have any competition between the places, or are you deciding based on some factors?
Actually, it's like a bidding process. It's almost the same as for an Olympic event. And here, the Volvo Ocean Race Organization have talked to these cities. I can tell you that last time we had 82 cities that were interested in hosting the Volvo Ocean Race.
Wow.
But there are a lot of parameters that have to be completed. For instance, the infrastructure, the hotels, the depth of the harbour, the ability of having the sailboats there, exhibition areas, receiving organisation, and so on. There are lots and lots of different aspects. So that work starts many, many years before the actual stopover happens.
Of course. But are you in general wanting to have new stopovers every year, or are you keeping like everything that works, don't touch them, and just chasing the ones that need to be replaced?
I think a bit of both. It's nice to have some that we know work very well. And for instance, places like Auckland, it's a city of sails. They love sailing. We've been there now twice, and it works very, very well. But it's also interesting, particularly from our point of view, from our customers' point of view, to have some new places to go to as well. So a bit of both. We always we bit of both. We would like to include more stopovers.
Okay, but if you have to make a choice, would you prefer a city that is really a sailing city that would enjoy the race most, the stopover most, or would you prefer a country where you need to promote Volvo and maybe the stopover is not so much about sailing at you, but you see that there is a future potential?
No, I think we need the sailing component very much so. I mean, we have a say, of course. We talk to Volvo Ocean Race about ports that they choose. They all have to be Volvo markets, otherwise there's no point
That's
if
true,
it's
yeah.
so no, the sailing is very important. I mean, China was a bit different because that was a new developing market for sailing, and the people that started the syndicate, they committed to teach a number of people how to sail, and they did a very, very big job on teaching people who, they sort of said that these guys practically didn't know the back from the front of a boat, 2 years ago, and now they sail around the world because they wanted to start up this sport in China. So that was very unique, to do that. But apart from that, a lot of sailors come back to the race every time.
It's excellent. During such a long race, you create a lot of content, and it's always good to have some fresh content, good emotions, wonderful pictures, what you get from the races to use in media. But how to use the content efficiently? And I mean that, can you share some secrets? How do you use the content in your marketing? So it's not only marketing of the race, but also marketing of Volvo trucks or Volvo buses or Volvo Penta or whoever you have in the group.
I mean, the most obvious one for us is, of course, by designing a special Volvo Ocean Race Edition truck with its own livery and color and inclusions and so on, because they serve as rolling advertisements on the roads for many years. And for instance, I still see trucks from the 05, 06 race rolling on the roads, and they still show Volvo Ocean Race, so they advertise it. But we have natural connections too, and for instance, this time the yachts were built, the components were built in three different countries, and we used Volvo trucks to transport the parts, and they're very large. It could be a hull or deck, so those transports needed special permits, road permits. They only could be freighted overnight. And they had to have special vehicles, to go before and after them. And we did films relating to those transports that we broadcast on YouTube, both Volvo Ocean Race Organization and our own channels. But I mean, apart from those obvious product ones, we talk about our core values in relation to the race. For instance, we can talk about the safety measures that Volvo has introduced on the yachts, and which now are mandatory. One example is that the bulb of the boats, they have to be painted orange. That was not a requirement before, and that is in case a boat turns over. An orange bulb is much easier to see than any other color,
Of course.
so it makes it easier to find from an aircraft or a helicopter, for instance. And so there are lots of safety features that Volvo has introduced, and they have an advanced satellite tracking system, so we can constantly monitor where the yachts are from the operations room at Volvo Ocean Race, and that again did not happen before. We have made the race much safer, but we can talk about other things like. We have joint values like endurance or teamwork, design, leading-edge technology, all those things we can draw correlations between our products and the Volvo Ocean Race. So that this, you just have to think about it a little bit, and you find that there are a lot of similarities that we can use for content marketing.
How do you build your content marketing calendar? Is it very active during the 9 months, and then you have some break or some vacation to prepare a new race, or are you dividing the topics throughout the year? This May we are going to talk about safety, and in June we are going to talk about teamwork. How is it?
Yes, I mean, together with Volvo Ocean Race, they make a calendar which issues they're going to promote, each month. Before the race, 2 years ago, we sat down and they did a communication platform. So then we look at theirs and see where it sort of corresponds to our own program, you could say. But it does vary a little bit, and of course, with content being available, different markets may choose to use it at different times. You know, the local market may choose to use the transport through Italy, for instance, whenever they've, you know, whenever it suits them. So we're not really tied down to a schedule.
Okay, so you have a general calendar, and then every market can build up their own calendar based on the local events, and but also looking at the general calendar.
Yeah, well, the Volvo Ocean Race has a general calendar. We put content in.
Okay, very interesting. Because I know that it's always difficult. You can have a lot of content, and then it's difficult to tie it into your marketing process. So whether it will really pay off at the end of the day. Not just beautiful pictures.
Yeah, we have a lot of customer magazines, both online and some. I don't know actually if there are too many printed anymore, but there used to be. So we use social media a lot, you know, and digital marketing tools.
Okay.
And films we use. I mean, we use a lot of films. Where, for instance, we have a film of this transport in conjunction with some sailing footage. And then, for instance, a Volvo dealer may have that in his waiting room, you know, when people come in to have their trucks serviced or pick up their trucks. We can have that sort of content rolling on the screens in there, you know, to create a bit of interest. So it's lots of different areas.
Very good. If you now try to kind of wrap the discussion or the interview, then... what would be the your suggestions? Let's say that we would have one Estonian company or maybe several of them thinking about that. What should we do with the sponsorship? What should they learn from you?
Well, I think it takes a lot longer to plan an event when you're dealing with different countries and continents than it would a local event. I mean, we start 2 years before each race starts by doing site inspections, create network, do conferences, plan exhibitions. So there's a very long lead time, and then you might find that when 2 years are up, you might find that new people have started on those roles, so that you have to start the process all over again. So time is of the essence. It's not something you should do everything like that. You should do long term. There's no point in going into an event short term if you want it to have an impact. Communication is key. We for the event, we have created a number of websites, booking systems, our own internal communication system, so that everyone knows what's available and what's going on, because as you can appreciate, there are a lot of people involved in a big sponsorship like this. And then another thing that's very important is brand and communication guidelines, so that all the local markets communicate the same way we do, and that the identity carriers look the same everywhere we go. Because for us, brand consistency is extremely important. I think to make sure that all the communication looks the same is absolutely key to make it have an impact.
Very good, thank you. It's really good to learn from you and not to make the same mistake by ourselves. And and the last question from this part is from a bit different field. What do you think, how would sponsorship be used to market a creative business?
Well, one very creative way of using sponsorship was when the film Pirates of the Caribbean, the second film, when it was going to be launched in the US, they actually created a syndicate carrying that name and entered the yacht into the Volvo Ocean Race. And they chose the famous America's Cup sailor Paul Kayard as a skipper. And in every stopover, they had special pirates activities for the general public. And they marketed the launch of the film in every country. So that was, of course, a very, very, very worldwide, very expensive way of launching a film. But it was also very novel and very, very creative, I thought.